It's good to see you all.
You too, brother.
Glad to be here. Like Brother Josh, I am amazed at how God does things.
That's right.
What's been on my mind just falls right in line with what Brother Jackie and Brother Josh have brought. You might not think so at first, but give it a minute. I do want to say, Brother Jackie, Satan might be snickering now, but for the wicked, this is the best they'll ever have it.
Amen.
And for us, it's the worst that it's ever going to be.
Amen.
He does snicker, don't he?
Yes, sir.
Psalm 85 and 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. What I'd like to speak to you tonight about is really a big subject, but I want to talk to you for just a little while about truth, mercy, and grace. They're very closely related. And I might say some things that you might not have thought before or pondered about. I want to read the definition of Merriam-Webster about what truth is. You know, Pilate asked the question, didn't he? What is truth? He didn't know. Sometimes I don't know. I'm sure there are things that go on in the deep recesses of our government that I don't want to know.
Amen to that.
But they, even the philosophers, can't nail what truth, nail down what truth is. Sometimes, some philosophers will say it's based on your personal experience. Sometimes, truth is put in the category of historical truth. You believe everything you read? I don't believe hardly anything I read outside of this book.
Amen.
And I don't believe half of what I see.
That's right.
You know, with AI and all.
Yeah.
What is truth? I mean, Merriam-Webster defines truth as the body of real things.
Amen.
Events and facts. Actuality. That's number one. There's more. Listen to this. This is a definition of truth. A judgment, proposition, or idea that is true or accepted as true. You like that one? I don't. That negates the whole reality of truth.
Yeah.
It is the property of being in accord with fact or reality. I like that. That's right. Well, the world's idea of truth is so skewed that just because something is accepted as true, it's called truth.
Sure.
And so that's why they put that in the definition. That's because people are accepting things as being truth just because they're accepted. Now let me ask a question. Just because you believe something is true, does that make it true?
No.
No way. I hope you believe the truth, but what you believe about the truth doesn't make the truth true or false.
Amen.
The truth is immovable.
Amen.
And when you think about absolute truth, you think about only one source of it, and that's God.
Amen.
He's absolutely true, and His truth is absolute.
Amen.
That means there's no alterations in it. It doesn't change. Therefore, God doesn't change. Therefore, His truth does not change.
Amen.
There are things that are true about me today that didn't used to be true.
Amen.
Or they used to be true and they're not now.
Right.
There's things about society, there's societal truth. You know, some things can be true in America and not true over there. Well, if your truth is shifty, how in the world are you going to have any stability
Amen.
In your life?
Amen.
So, we're going to get on in a minute. Truth, because I want to personify truth, because truth is. I mean, truth is God. God is truth. It said, Brother Jackie quoted it. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life."
Amen.
Now, he also, John, I believe, said we beheld him. He was full of grace and truth. He's full of grace and truth. You ever thought about the impossibility of mercy meeting truth? And the impossibility of righteousness and peace kissing?
Right. Won't work.
Because truth is immovable. And if y'all have heard this, I know you have. People's idea, and I'm not saying whether that, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just putting this forth that this is the idea. Let's go with it for a minute. That your life is flashed on a big screen on the judgment day before God. And it ain't going to be that way. I'm just saying, just think about that for a moment. And every sin that you ever committed was flashed before your eyes. Before the judgment bar of God, because truth has to do with judgment, does it not?
Amen.
Truth, most people holler for it. We want the truth. For the purpose of condemning someone who they think is wrong.
Right.
Now, we're on the judgment bar. We're up to the bar of judgment. And truth says he's guilty.
That's right.
And the punishment is forthcoming. And it will be rendered in direct proportion to
to the crime.
Amen.
Did y'all know, even under the law, that the crime or the punishment fit the crime? So I'm going to break it down. So you would, if you murdered a man, it wouldn't be, the punishment wouldn't be the same as if you stole somebody's goat.
Right.
Punishment's different. And it is still today. Thank goodness we're not all condemned as murderers when we steal a pack of gum. Amen?
Right.
But that's on man's law.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm talking before a holy God, and that you are in front of the judgment bar, and your life is poured out because God knows everything.
Yeah, he does.
And when truth comes, truth says you're guilty. And you must own it because you know you are.
Amen.
And truth says you're guilty and your punishment is coming right now. But you know, I'm glad God hasn't shown me all my sins.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Do y'all know, y'all remember that movie, A Few Good Men? Had Jack Nicholson, that famous scene when he was in the court. And then Tom Cruise was a lawyer. And Jack Nicholson said, I'm not preaching Hollywood now. Y'all get this. Jack Nicholson said, what do you want? And he said, I want the truth. And he said, you can't handle the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. We couldn't.
Amen.
Before a holy God, we could not handle the truth, but the truth would be there and be judgmental of our guilt nonetheless.
Amen.
And so we're there. And so that is truth equals, y'all, I'm going to talk to you about math tonight. Truth equals punishment.
Yeah.
And judgment. And truth says you're guilty and the punishment's coming. Do you know Isaiah, I believe it's in 61, he says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags and we're all gone away. And we're like leaves and blown in the wind. We're nothing.
Amen.
And that's the truth.
Amen.
Then I want you to think about what mercy is. Did y'all know that mercy judges exactly like truth? What do we say when we're in the court and we're found guilty? What happens then? We throw ourselves what? At the mercy of the court. Mercy judges you as guilty, just like truth does. Only mercy says you're guilty, but I am withholding that which you do deserve.
Right.
That punishment that you do deserve will not be exacted on you. So mercy subtracts. Now, are we talking math?
Here we go.
Truth equals punishment. Mercy subtracts punishment. Then there's grace. What is grace? Grace judges just like mercy and truth. How's that, Brother Paul? Because if you're in a position of needing grace, you are in a guilty position. And it still judges you as guilty, but it takes it a step further, way further than mercy. It says, I'm not going to subtract something, a punishment from you. I'm going to add something Amen. To you.
Amen.
And what he adds is blessings.
Amen.
You know, we say mercy is withholding or subtracting that which we do deserve, and grace adds what we don't deserve.
Amen.
Did y'all know there's a difference between truth, mercy, and grace? Truth gives us what we do deserve. Mercy and truth, mercy and grace are close kinfolk.
Right.
Because they're both dispensed out to those who are undeserving of it.
Amen.
Right.
Y'all got it?
Amen.
I mean, just the very fact that you're begging for mercy is you're admitting your own guilt.
That's right.
How many of y'all have ever begged for mercy when you were right? Never.
Maybe only in a marriage.
Maybe. Maybe. Sonja's not here, so I can tell you. Admitting your own guilt. How many times, and both Brother Jackie and Brother Josh mentioned our struggles and the recurring infinity loop that we seem to be in of making mistakes, falling into temptations. No, we don't endure every one of them, do we, Josh? We succumb to some of those trials. God help us. Did you know mercy could not meet truth in humanity? The only time, let me say it with unregenerate humanity, but the time when mercy really did meet truth was in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's when righteousness and peace kissed one another.
Amen.
He's all those things, isn't he?
Yes.
He's mercy. He's truth. He's righteousness. And he's our peace.
Amen.
He's all of those things to us all at the same time. And did you know that they're all in love, mercy and truth and righteousness and grace. They're all because of love. They're all love, have love as their basis. Now,
Amen.
Let me, mercy meeting truth. I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Because, I mean, I could go on. It's getting late. I could go on about mercy meeting truth in Jesus Christ. I want you to ponder about it, but I want to talk about some, and I may preach about this before, but it hits me strong tonight. How truth ought to meet mercy. Mercy ought to meet truth. Did y'all know that there is a lot of examples we have in scriptures of mercy meeting truth? I'm going to tell you a few of them. Did y'all remember the account of the Pharisee and the publican? Y'all remember that? Y'all remember when the Pharisee stood up there and he said, "Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are. I fast 3 days a week. I pay tithes of everything that I'm supposed to pay tithes with. And I'm not sinners like other men, like this poor publican here. I thank you that I'm not like him. I'm so good, God. You deserve, or I deserve, to have you bless me." Hey, he didn't say that verbatim, but That was his attitude.
That's right.
I'm so good, you're obligated to bless me because of my goodness. How far do you think that prayer got? It didn't get above his nose.
Right.
Have y'all ever thought about this? What God told Ananias when Paul when God was meeting Ananias, and he said, "Behold, he prayeth."
Amen.
You think Saul of Tarsus ever prayed before that? Oh yeah, just like the Pharisee prayed at the publican. Prayers that reach God got to be a different kind of prayer.
Amen.
They have to be this kind of prayer that the poor publican wouldn't even get close to him, and not only probably because he didn't feel worthy to be next to that religious man. And the religious man didn't want to be close to him because he didn't want to be near the scum of the earth in his own estimation. He's too good to be over there with him. But how did the publican pray? The publican got down, couldn't even lift up his eyes so much to heaven, and he smote his breast and he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner."
Amen.
What just happened? What just happened? Mercy met truth. Because he owned his sinfulness and God gave him mercy.
Yes.
And he went down to his house justified. Isn't that great? What a great time. These could take a whole lot long to develop, but I'm going to just quicken on.
We're here with you, brother.
Do y'all remember that Syrophoenician woman? And Matthew, I think, calls her a Canaanite woman. Do y'all know she comes to Jesus Christ? And she says, and Jesus says, all of his disciples, you know, those supermen of God that never made any mistakes. Not hardly. A thick-headed bunch, just like me. This Gentile woman comes to these Jews, and Jesus Christ, who was also a Jew, comes to him and says, Lord, have mercy on me. And he said, it is not, he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And all of the disciples said, Lord, do you want us to send her away? She crieth after us. She's bothering us. Just send her away. And Jesus said, it's not meet to take, or it's not fit or proper to take the children's meat and give it unto dogs. How would you like that if you were coming up to Jesus? Would you still be there? Or would you have gotten up mad? He called me a dog. I ain't got nothing to do with him. Or would you be like her and say, truth, Lord?
Yeah.
Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table.
Amen, bro.
And do you know what Jesus said? He said, great is thy faith. Go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. I want you to realize that there was about 3 or 4 times that Jesus said somebody had great faith, but it was never to any of the disciples.
Right. Amen.
It was to those that were Gentile people. He never said it about anybody that was a Jew.
He said it to the Gentiles that owned their dogness and said, "Truth, Lord, yet we eat, the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table."
Amen.
And they begged for mercy, and truth meant mercy for her that day. Truth.
She owned it. And because she owned it, God was merciful to her.
Yes.
Then we see the thief on the cross. Now, we see three crosses, don't we?
Right.
We say the thief on the cross. There was two of them.
Jesus in the middle. And all the scribes and Pharisees and some of the multitudes down there that cried after, "Crucify him, crucify him," were realizing that. I don't know how happy they were about it after they actually saw it. But Jesus was hanging there and they were mocking him from the ground, saying, "If thou be the Christ, come on down off of this cross. Save thyself if you're the Christ."
You know, Brother Joe, if it had been me, I'd have called down them legions of angels.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
I would have. I would have said, "I'll show you."
That's right. Break that dog for sucking eggs.
But you know, he did show them. 3 days later.
Yes, he did. Amen.
Just give a little time. Just give a little time. And get back to my subject. All right, so these mockers are down here. "Hail, King of the Jews." And did you know that both of the thieves hanging on the cross on either side of Jesus mocked him too?
Yes, they did.
It says they cast the same in their teeth.
Right.
That meant they said the same thing and mocked the same way that the people that were on the ground. How pitiful are humans that they're mocking him for being on a cross as they're hanging on a cross?
Yeah, amen.
Boy, we're blind, ain't we?
Yes, sir.
Both of them did that, but something happened to the one. I believe it was the one on the right side.
Amen.
I think I've got substantial evidence from that, because the right side is the place of honor.
Yeah.
Left side is the place of dishonor. You never heard somebody say, "He's my left-hand man," have you? That's the reason why.
Yeah.
So the thief on the right-hand side, something happened to him.
Right.
And he said, he told that other thief, he said, "Doth thou not fear God?"
That's right.
"For we're in the same condemnation. And we hang here indeed justly.
That's right.
But this man hath done nothing amiss."
That's right.
And that's when I'm sure he probably turned his head towards Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom."
Amen.
And you know what Jesus' answer was? He said, "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise."
Amen.
Did you know mercy meant truth for that man that day?
Yes,
on his death cross.
I'm telling you, when we own our guiltiness, then and only then are we going to experience mercy. I'm not saying God is not merciful to you. He may be very merciful, but you might not be realizing it.
Right.
My friends, if you're struggling today in your life with the feeling of just the heavy weight of the guilt of sin, I'm telling you to confess it to God and own your guiltiness, and He's just and faithful to dispense mercy out to you.
Amen.
He is. And He likes it when we confess our sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I have seen it a few times when people were so engulfed by the Spirit of God as He invaded them and convicted them that they have come down to the front of the church and confessed their sins openly before the congregation.
Yeah.
It used to happen all the time. I haven't seen it happen but about once or twice. It's an amazing thing to witness when mercy meets truth.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing when mercy meets truth.
Amen.
Come ahead, Brother Joe. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.